Hi folks, Graham Sutherland back again Thursday night, running a wee bit late again tonight. Connection problems, a lot of weird stuff happening with the, the broadband and the landline. I was having some weird stuff happening to my landline. Anyway, we'll see what we can do, we'll do our best. So yeah, 21st century Jacobite. We're gonna be looking at Come to Fails tonight. Things are all hell's breaking loose all over the world. All hell's breaking loose. It's difficult to keep track, and you don't know. I mean, well, when you switch on the mainstream media, you don't know if you're listening to truth or whether you're listening to deception or whether you're listening to, you know, double deception or whether it's theatre. It's all very confusing and contradictory. That's what it is. So, yeah, the worldly system seems to be imploding, collapsing all around the world. I don't know about this so-called second wave they're talking about, you know, the COVID-19 thing. It was like, you know, people went back to work and then they were saying that, you know, oh, you'll have to not go back to work. And, I mean, people are just sick of it, you know. And there's been a whole rash of suicides. That's the thing. That's the sad reality of it, you know. People don't like being, kept in. It's like, well, it's basically like a prison. Yeah, so apart from all the political strife and all this trouble between the black and white things and everything, particularly in America, it's kind of like even nature seems to be responding. I see there was a large earthquake today in New Zealand, 7 point something on the Richter scale. It's, I mean, it's early days yet. I don't know if it was breaking news. I don't know if there's been any casualties or not, but it seems like every other day there's another earthquake somewhere. It's almost like God's just shaking the world, you know. It's almost like he's saying, look, I'm still here, and I'm not going away. That's what it feels like to me. It's more than that. Earthquakes, famines, flooding, pestilences as well, of course, droughts in some parts of the world. That's scary. Very scary. I don't know. I can't. I'm hoping someone phones in about this matter. But I was reading, just tonight, that in the last few days, or maybe last week or something, Trump ordered the U.S. Air Force to drop firebombs on Syria. And they burnt all their crop, their cereal crop, completely obliterated it with some kind of firebombs being dropped from helicopters. I haven't got much more details on that, apart from the fact that, you know, it's caused all sorts of starvation and everything. But if anyone knows about it, knows more about it than I do, I'd be glad to find out more about it. It's all about, I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? What would be the purpose of, starving out the Syrians? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. So yeah, if anyone else knows, please, by all means, phone in. Please explain that or something. There wasn't much. I mean, I never got it on the mainstream news. It was on the internet. Basically. Yeah. So, yeah. If anyone knows, please enlighten us. Enlighten us to why he would order that. Why would he do that? I thought they'd more or less given up and were pulling out. That's what I thought. That's what they said they would do, apart from a small maintenance tour. So, yeah, what the other black guy getting killed, that was shocking, getting shot in the back. I must admit, that was really sickening. And he was actually killed. There was a lot of doubt as to whether George Floyd actually died, you know, because he was a top mason, a policeman, or supposed policeman. They were both masons, basically. And it's just probably not going to happen that masons would, two Freemasons would hurt each other or whatever. However, they would act together. They're quite happy to, it's part of their oath to deceive people and to lie or cheat or steal to help a brother. That's what they do. I really don't believe George Floyd died. I really don't. I can't let that one go. Definitely not. No. Too many inconsistencies as well. Way too many inconsistencies. Not the least the fact that there was a fuel station in the background, a gas station in the background, and the price of diesel was 99 cents. Now, obviously, you know, it's dearer than that, obviously. Absolutely dearer than that. So it very much looks like a set. Very much looks like a set. I mean, you add to that the fact that there was exactly the same thing happened in France and in Spain. Pictures beamed all across the mainstream news of police kneeling on, white police kneeling on black guys' necks. So why would that happen? The chances of that happening, you know, with the law of averages and everything else, the chances of that actually happening in the real world are, millions to one, really. Just all of a sudden, you know, all in the same week, those three white policemen in three different countries filmed kneeling on black guys' necks. You couldn't make that up. You just couldn't make that up. So it's obvious it's a Masonic agenda. It's quite obvious. It's very obvious, in fact. So, yeah, the whole thing, I mean, it's obviously social engineering. It's a domino effect, and they knew exactly what they were doing. So, but that second one, the second black guy that shot in the bar, and that's obviously, that's horrendous. Can't believe it. I know the policeman that shot him, he has been charged with murder, and 10 other charges. So there's a chance that he could face the death penalty for his crimes. And so it should. Absolutely shocking. Shooting somebody when they're running away. And I feel so sorry for him. That was a family man with four kids. It's really, really sad. I hate to see it. I really do. I really, really hate to see it. I don't doubt this one. I did doubt the other one. I don't doubt this one. I don't know why. It just seems to be more, much more realistic. Much more realistic. So, if there's any updates in that as well. Yeah, by the way, you're welcome to phone in. This is a phone-in type program. You know, take calls. If anyone's got any unique insight into any of these matters, riots, you know, the unrest, Black Lives Matter thing, or indeed the COVID-19 thing, I'd be interested to hear what you've got to say. It's only people like us. It's only the, alternative news, if you like, people's journalism or whatever you want to call it. It's only where the real truth's getting out. And it's got to the stage now where mainstream news is kind of imploding. It's becoming less and less and less credible and more outrageous. And it's just more obvious, so much more obvious, that it's an agenda of deception. That's where we're at. So the viewer figures in mainstream news is going down and down and down. And they deserve it. They actually deserve it. Because they're clearly being paid by, big money interests to deceive us and to peddle their lies or their particular brand of deception. I mean, some are worse than others, obviously, but they've all got money behind them, basically peddling an agenda. It's so wrong. It wasn't that long ago that we used to trust the news. We actually thought it was news. But this is the age of information. We've got the internet and everything. We can check up. We can cross-reference things. We can find people in the hotspots and actually say to them, what's the truth? What is the truth in your area? What's really happening? And time and time and time again, I mean, 3 or 4 times this week, it's turned out that there was news reports about specific rioting and specific looting and such like in different cities. And then when citizen journalists went to those cities, it turned out it was grossly exaggerated or else it was just downright lies. So that's where we're at in world history. We're at the point where mainstream media has shot itself in the foot so often it can no longer stand. No one trusts them. And why should they? Why should they trust mainstream media when they consistently deceive us and consistently tell lies? Yeah, so it's totally imploded. It's a bit like, it reminds me a bit in the left in America. I mean, the left in America, crikey, they've got so extreme with, you know, well, just immorality and sleaziness and everything. It's got so bad. And even the politicians. I mean, what kind of example are they? And every time you switch on the TV, there's idiots like Nancy Pelosi making up some other garbage about Trump. The fact that they're going after him so fiercely over these issues, and you know, just every week there's something else coming up. The latest one is that he came from John Bolton. I didn't call him John Bolton. I call him John Bolton. His head looks like it belongs to a different species. Some kind of runt, some sort of DNA problem with the guy. But anyway, he's made some allegations that Trump basically asked the Chinese Prime Minister, Chinese President, to help him win the election. It's just garbage, you know? Absolute garbage. How can foreign governments influence, other than social media, how can they influence voters? It's just like, well, treating people like fools, basically. That's what they're doing. Treating people like absolute idiots. I mean, who listens to mainstream news anymore? Apart from old people. What old people still listen to it and think it's somehow related to the truth. The generation below them and the generation below us, we came to the conclusion that they're not to be trusted. And they keep consistently giving us more and more reason to feel that way about them. It just became an absolute joke. It makes you cringe. You put on a TV and you think, oh, come on, you know. It's ridiculous trying to sell us this garbage as truth. We're just not buying it. Not buying it at all. I don't know. It's like, I really believe it's all kind of like, social engineering, it's all been orchestrated for sure. And they'll say, there's always a smokescreen and there's always a bigger picture behind it. So the fake murder of George Floyd led on to riots and then actual murders, real murders, social unrest and everything, that's obviously where they were. You know, whether we're going with us, it's obviously what they were trying. I think they were disappointed just disappointed the whole COVID-19 thing didn't kill more people, basically. That's right, yeah, that's where we're at. It seems to be sent up. In America, though, I mean, let's be honest. I know there's been copycat riots in London and Berlin and Paris and stuff like that, but nothing so crazy. But have your doubts, because there's police brutality videos. We were getting people posting them in the group more or less every week. Traffic stops and such like, and people getting shot or people getting beaten up and stuff like that. We were getting these videos, and to be honest, they were coming in so frequently. I was starting to think, you know, this is a setup. This is not even real. We're being live. Obviously, we're live. Socially engineered. I'm surprised. There's still a clique. There's still a group of people out there that actually believe that the theatre we see on the news, they actually believe that's the truth. But it's got to the stage, it's not even close to truth. It's upsetting. It really is. It kind of demoralises you a bit. How can people swallow this? How is there people out there still swallowing this? I don't know. It leaves me at a bit of a loss. I mean, they're clearly trying to start a race war, and I think we should be strong. I think we should be strong. I think we should not buckle for this. We should not fall for the bait. Because that's what it is. They're trying to bait us. It's race baiting. That's what they call it. Race baiting. And the amount of folk are falling for it. You know, buying into it. And all this absolute nonsense about, you know, apologising for being, you know, white. And apologising for what our forefathers did. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the founding fathers in America in particular, they were mainly Freemasons and some Catholics. They weren't white Christians like everybody tries to make out. That's rubbish. That's lies. It's all a load of garbage. We were, Scottish people were treated far worse than the blacks in America before and after America was colonized. And the Irish, we were treated like absolute shit. Burnt out of our houses and everything. And, starved to death in a lot of cases. The potato famines in Ireland killed over 1 million people, and that was social engineering. That was Britain trying to starve Ireland into complete submission so they could just walk in there and take over. However, the Irish got more and more angry, more and more, a lot of them did die, but the remainder was fighting against the brutal English aristocracy, fighting against them tooth and nail, because they could see what they were doing. Yeah, so that's the stage we're at in history. But I can't, I don't know, there's a kind of small town mentality in America. Kind of like, what would you say, blinker, sort of blinkerness, kind of narrow tunnel vision, that's what I would call it. Completely oblivious to the fact that the Scots and the Irish were slaves long before they were. And cannon fodder, in a lot of cases, cannon fodder. Even after the Second World War, the Normandy landings, you know, when the Brits went across to France and the boats and everything, which is Dunkirk. It's a well known story. The first regiment that was put on the beach was the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, which is a Scottish regiment. So yeah, they put them out the front, and of course they were getting strafed off of the beachhead by thousands of Germans with automatic weapons, but they decided to put the Scots in first as cannon fodder. It's quite, well, it's been happening for a long time. The whole slavery thing, the whole subjugation thing, exploitation thing, it's been happening for a long time. I can't understand why people somehow feel that we should apologise for, you know, for what our ancestors did. Absolutely nothing we can do about what our ancestors did. What can we do? You can't apologize for that. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Even if you are actually, like, you know, specifically bloodline related, you know, to Vlad the Impaler or whatever, you wouldn't apologize for it, would you? It's just ridiculous. And I don't know. I don't know what a class or subclass of society it is. It would appear to be kind of like a left wing, a liberal kind of a concept. Get on your knees and apologize for what your forefathers did. It's ridiculous. What is it all about? Seen some church groups doing it as well. Exactly the same thing. And, you know, go down on their knees and apologise and everything. What, I mean, the world's gone mad. The world has gone absolutely mad. Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? It leaves me cold. It really does. It's just like utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. It's some kind of insanity. Some kind of mass hysteria. That's all it is. I'm just so glad I'm not in America right now. That would be horrible. That'd be really, really scary to be part of that big sort of melting pot. And some people, it's been suggested by some people that it's because, they've left to their days are numbered, and there's all these, supposedly, I hope it's true, there's all these indictments out, hundreds of indictments out for the Clintons and Podestas, and even Obama and Oprah Winfrey and all this. I keep hearing this from QAnon, and the other places, this is, the reason they're so desperate, because they're basically being exposed. They're basically being forced, corralled into a corner. I don't know how much of that's true. I'd love to think it's true. But I fear it's not. I feel it's not entirely. I hope it is, though. I really do. I hope and pray. I hope and pray that it's true, I really do. I'm just wondering if it'll happen before the election, if they'll leave it as a masterstroke, you know, just maybe right before the election or whatever, to drop a bombshell. But, looking at things from across the pond, it would appear that the left has got so desperate and so utterly freaky and creepy. They're going to implode. They're going to have to actually destroy the party and start again. They've kind of lost all credibility. There's no credibility left whatsoever. Some of the stuff that's coming out, it's just like
Oh, it's like a comedy show. It really is. I never seen it coming. I absolutely never seen it coming. So, yeah. If anybody's in any of these hotspots, it'd be great to hear from you. Love to know what's really going on the ground. Love to get away from, you know, what the press are saying and what mainstream media are saying, because we know that they know the lines here. We know they are. And the lies are based on previous lies they told us before, which were based on other previous lies they told us before that. So we know, you know, people know. People are waking up. Goodness, that they, you know, they are waking up. So it's got to the stage now where ordinary, what do you call it? People's media, people's journalism is much more credible and much more popular than the majority of mainstream channel.
Yeah. How you doing?
Oh, hi. Who's that?
Hey, Grandma.
John from South Carolina.
Yes, Grandma. I was about to mention we have John in South Carolina. I think you've spoken to him before.
Yeah.
Is that the truck guy? Truck driver, John.
Oh, that's another John who goes by John Roadworthy. This is a different John who's also a friend of Stephen Douglas Lautner.
John Church.
Yeah, that's my church. Yes, yes. That's right. I've heard you before, right enough. How's things?
Good. Yeah, I live in a 1906 Presbyterian church. But anyway, I bought it for $1,600. But I'm driving, and I'm doing a room addition, so I'm 59, and I got my second and third lumbar activating up, so I'm driving, and I'm got a little bit of what you call the arthritis, but I didn't have arthritis yesterday, so I'm kind of like, you know, what next? But anyway, I was telling them about health problems. I hope I can focus enough. But anyway, you mentioned election. Do you mean U.S. election? Or?
Yes. Yes, it's coming up. When is it? November.
Yeah. And then David Icke is mentioning Huxley in 1984, and he's mentioning, I like to mention Clockwork Orange. But, Clockwork Orange is about a bunch of ruffians. I think it was in England that they decided to take over the world, you know. They beat a liberal arts teacher up with a dildo. So they hit her over the head with Me Too stuff.
That's right, I remember that. And then chased her with a huge ceramic dick.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's Antifa, I guess, but Antifa, whatever you call it. But, they got the little Chaz Nation, and they're going to work out the ambassador. They got the Border Patrol at Chaz or Chops. So you move it up into Chops. You got the little sovereign country there over in Seattle as they, you know, snubbing their nose. It's all designed to make capitalists jump out there and make fools of themselves and get painted as bigots and racist and Me Too. And that's how social justice works, as we know, as you've mentioned before. Yeah. But then again, you get fortified with Dennis Prager, and he's been off the chain because he's been, you know, by leftist design, he's been saying what Viktor Orban said. You know, Viktor Orban's a strange character. He's actually the first Trump. Or first populist, I should say. I don't know much about him. You know anything about Viktor Orban?
No, I've not heard that name before. Who's that?
Is it Hungary? Or I get it mixed up. I think it's Hungary. help me out here. But anyway, he's the first Trump, as he's called, or the first, he said socialists rolled him. It was these just about 10 millionaires rolled Europe. It wasn't socialists, and they just started buying up judges, and next thing you know, boom, you know, a regime had taken over his country, according to Victor. And so in that respect, he's like Trump, but he's more democratic than Trump.
Is he the current PM there? Viktor Orban, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. O-R-B-A-N, Viktor Orban.
Okay, Graham, you must be familiar with him then, in Hungary, right?
Yeah, he had mentioned whether, you know, I read an article saying he's the first Trump, that basically, but then again, now Trump's been, you know, there's interviews, there's one in 2015 where he says, you know, it's culture wars and he's different, but he just loves the country too much. He didn't, not going to do it for me. He doesn't want to run for the president.
Well, from what I understand, I mean, as far as all of the immigration quotas and all of the policies which have been against the citizens of a given European country over there, we've had Poland and Hungary being the most resistant to the immigration policies and the strongest resurgence in nationalism, ethnic nationalism, from what I understand, has been in the peoples of Hungary and Poland. And of course, they've been reporting massive spikes in anti-Semitism as well, of course, which is, of course, anything that points out Jewish power or involvement where the Jewish lobby groups are orchestrating, along with philanthropists such as Soros, orchestrating much of the to be frank, I mean, it's replacement level immigration. And I mean, basically, a lot of these Jewish power players, you know, these Talmudists want white majorities to go away in the future of Europe and America. It doesn't really fit into their plans of divide and conquer. And I mean, so we do have a lot of the Poles and the Hungarians pointing out the Jewish factor involvement in all this replacement level immigration and of course, a strong resurgence in nationalism, which is being attacked. And so Viktor Orban in Hungary, if he has been supporting the native Hungarians in some of these sentiments, I could see why he's demonized by the media and the powers that be, certainly.
Well, there's parallels, but the main object is he says, hey, socialists don't have a right to rule us. That was dirty, and it also was totalitarian control. And he said it wasn't that big a group. It was just about 20 millionaires that weren't very big. They just went in there and started buying judges.
Communism seems to always go hand in hand with the subversion tactics of these people. I mean, what we've seen in Russia in the past. I mean, what was going on in Germany, which led to the populist NSDAP movement and of course, Hitler's popular election and everything. But I mean, it's the same story again and again. We see communism being employed by these same think tanks, you know, these same Talmudic cult-like groups, and we see a lot of divide and conquer with color revolutions and that sort of thing. Very common to communist regimes, communism all over the world in the past. Wouldn't you say, Graham? I mean, a lot of people are comparing what we're seeing now in the U.S. to the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917, but there are also similarities being pointed out, especially with things like the statues being knocked down, attacking the history, comparing it to the color revolution we saw in China in the 60s as well. And what would you say on that, Graham?
I would say there's a lot of parallels. But remember, Hitler's system was National Socialism rather than communism. Mind you, it's kind of like
I mean, Hitler was very much against communism. I'm just saying that the people who are always orchestrating these sort of policies against the native peoples, communism is used as a tactic again and again, and it is these Talmudic powerful Jewish groups, think tanks, and I mean the whole rise of communism, I mean, even going far prior to Marx, even if you go to what was the gentleman's name, it was like 1840, Moses Hess, I want to say, I'd have to double check, but I mean, you know, these Jewish intellectuals have had communism and color revolutions as tools in their arsenal for centuries now.
Yes, that's right. And they're really good at staying out of the public eye, aren't they? You know, just stirring things away quietly. Next button.
But you have a lot of similarities in England now. But I guess you wanted to get more input from John on what's going on in America, as well as perhaps the comparisons to the UK where you are. Graham, I mean, I want to hear John's thoughts on this. I can't believe how much Black Lives Matter has spread overseas. I mean, how much you in the UK over there have Black Lives Matter rallies and everything going on now. And John, are you aware how many major corporations in the U.S. have been donating millions now to Black Lives Matter ever since this riot started? We have a lot are giving $10 million. Quite a few are even giving $25 million. It's a huge amount now that Black Lives Matter has to potentially further subvert our country into a communist ideology. It's all the corporatism we have in this country, completely led by money and the corporations, are now pushing it toward communism with a move like this.
Well, it's what Prager's been saying, or you know, George Soros and company and big tech is. I don't know where the payments are going to make somebody act up on the street and cause a riot, but that's what they say. There is an infrastructure. I have met in Greenville, South Carolina. It's one of the top 10 fastest growing. And anyway, they were there to paint me as a bigot, harassing tenants in the ghetto, and there were women with clipboards and shit. And they wouldn't identify themselves, but they were somebody was paying them to get some kind of social justice law that's never been in Greenville. It's an old southern city. So what you're saying is true, and the money, the amount of money to cause BLM, that Dennis Prager was saying that it's Me Too, it's the same people that fund them. They don't care if Me Too works as good as Black Lives Matter. They don't care. It's the same product, and it's fed the same way by the same people, which gets very interesting. If that makes it just generically do as much damage as you can to push the agenda to make capitalists pop out, put uniforms on their backs as the bad guys. They're the guys who get their stores robbed, right? They're the dirty sons of bitches that are getting their stores robbed and burned and losing their profits. And they're the ones that are against Black Lives Matter. See, go get him. There's a capitalist. Go get him. And if, God forbid, you would declare, hey, I'm a capitalist, I'm against this stuff, that's you. And they will... they will end your career. Look what they're doing to who is in the hot seat now. How about the guy that got rape charges? $3 million bond, the guy for the 60 show or the 70 or 60 show.
Oh, yeah.
An affidavit by three women that said he raped him 15, 20 years ago. You know, like Bill Cosby all over again. Now, Bill Cosby, he was against women, and he's the guy that spoke out and said, basically, black people are their own worst enemy. And that's when they put him in jail, or had him put in jail. Same thing with the Black Lives Matter jail, the lawyers, like the lawyers in Atlanta.
And by the way, that's 2 miles from my brother's house, the Wendy's at University in 85. And so they burned his Home Depot too, you know.
Well,
he has to go 40 miles to go to Home Depot because they burned his Wendy's. And, well, there's not a lot of, there's no fast food joints in Southeast Atlanta. They have a food desert.
Well,
in Spartanburg, where I live, they got $200 million predicated on it's a food desert. We need a food oasis. And they're down there building multiple-use housing, biggest grant in South Carolina history, but that's the basis for it is it's a food oasis because basically, you know, that nobody wanted to open up a food store in the middle of the ghetto. And I'm throwing the kitchen sink at it, ain't I? But I'm from Atlanta, and the socialist movement there is just alive and well, my friends.
Yeah.
And Chicago, too. You know, y'all got rolled pretty good up that way. A long time ago, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the Police Scanner.
I don't know.
When we had the riots a few weekends ago, I was listening to the Police Scanner Saturday night, Sunday night, even Monday morning. I mean, we had police being fired upon in a case on Sunday night. Again, on Monday morning, like around 11 a.m., police being fired upon again, no less. So it was pretty crazy here.
Well, we don't know if, you know, have they appeased the urchins? You know, like Mitch McConnell said, call me old-fashioned, but I think you should be allowed to work your feelings out after you get arrested. And, you know, basically, the woman in Seattle said, no national militia. And basically, Trump says, well, you better take care of it. I'm sending them. But you think it may get on his thread? I don't know. If it, you know, it's really not as petty and sophomoric as, nah, I'm going to send the troops in on you. It's really, you know, it's really about the pivotal moment of socialism versus capitalism. This social justice law, what Ted Nugent has been saying, the culture wars since 2004, basically, that culture wars are going to, Antifa is going to hit the street. Now, if you'll note, there's no group claiming to be violent Trumpers out there. Generally speaking, people like me, I get mad, but I'm not going to break the law. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I don't care what law it is. And that is part of a Republican. The majority, most crooks or dopers or, you know, thieves are not Republicans. They won't claim any part of it. But I'm against, you know, work ethic. So technically, Trump people are pretty good, you know, people that just want law and order. But if it's the majority of these people around here are very low quality in Spartanburg. It's shift workers. The median income's one of the lowest in the U.S. There's a lot of dope heads in this town. And I get sick of them. I got robbed last month. I don't know when. I was counting money and had it on my bed and it's gone. And all I did is take a shower and get a phone call and left the door unlocked or something. I don't know what I did. But anyway, what I'm saying is I don't know anybody that's not a thief. I do, but they believe in their liberal apartheid. They watch Fox News, and, you know, they don't associate with poor people. That's what cultural wars does. And the Black Lives Matter thing will just reinforce that nobody in their right mind will ever do business with a black person ever again. Why would you? I mean, you know, they got a set of anger. You got to, you know, if something goes wrong, they blame you. You know, the social implications are huge about this. This is cruelty at its worst. To do to a race of people is make them feel entitled that they can sit around with a thumb up their ass and do nothing and then, you know, get something for nothing at every twist and turn and cheap drugs and something for nothing. Cheap drugs, something for nothing. And I'm a little junkie too when it comes down to it. I might get, it wouldn't take me much to slide down to that level. I think the resolve of America, what's good about America, the civic duties of people, they don't, they, you know, who does talk about Dennis Prager? They rot you, the fish head is rotted. They want to destroy, law and order and justice. They want to pervade the justice system and say, they're defending Black Lives Matter with, oh, this guy was in, you know, he's a Sunday school teacher, basically, and, you know, the guy had fentanyl and meth in him, and they don't mention that, hiding exculpatory evidence and saying, you know, he was minding his own business or sleeping in his car. But that's the thing, you know, I've had cops rap on my window and, buddy, if you have a key, you're going to jail for DUI. That's, I'm white, and that's how they treat you. I mean, they will get that key, and they will charge you, and you're not going to resist arrest. They're going to crack you upside the head. That's the way I was brought up. I mean, the police come, you don't act like you're going to hit them. You don't make bad on them. But that's the whole thing. They're trying to pervert justice and slide justice and hide exculpatory. But what's worse is they got criminal referrals in 10 people in the FBI, CIA, and the DNI, and whoever else, and the NSA are going to jail. And they got hard evidence that they did 4,000 inquiries, what Anthony Snowden said, using the FISA court to listen in on targets of citizens, namely Republicans looking for dirt, like, you know, eavesdropping if they're having an affair, or, you know, release that they're having an affair and they can't defend it because it's true. I mean, you know, finding dirt on people by listening in on their phones, their texts, and emails. But there's 4,000 of them between 2012 and 2016 that Mike Rogers at NSA has done told Trump, hey, I found these FISA defects and you're being tapped. And he was told he wasn't under investigation. Can you imagine if that happened to me? I mean, I would have screamed bloody murder, you know. But so they got the fish head rotted at the top. They knew they had to do that to get BLM to get some liftoff. And that's where it gets into conspiracy. But Dennis Prager has been saying this for years. This is being fed by who you said. People are sending corporations, you said. Well, we don't know if it's Soros getting funnel money by big tech or what it is, a globalist or Zionist. But there's a lot of damn money for the left agenda, I can tell you that, because Trey Gowdy, time after time, has said he dog whistles left while he acts right. And Ryan quit his job as Speaker of the House to go on the board of Fox. That's to pivot it left. I'm done. I mean, I gotta pause. But thank you. I'm listening. I gotta put on mute. Somebody, okay. Sorry, guys. I'll be right back. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Somebody delivered something to me.
All right.
It's some of that green stuff to help and anesthetize me so I don't get an Uzi. No. but you know, I know Londoners, they love the pot. But the, you know, I get shot and caught a crook but, you know, I'm a guy that just builds something to the sky and I go hide at home and live on the edge of town and I try to stay out of everything. And this is like a great vent to me because sometimes, you know, I just be playing at my head till 3 o'clock and not telling nobody. So I come uncapped. You know, I'm not that great of a speaker, as you can tell. But it, what I'm saying is the only time I hear it is Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager is nailing it on the head about the facts and the timelines of how the leftist agenda, and he always brings out a point that I hadn't thought of, but he's been saying this leftist agenda, and Bill O'Reilly's got the Culture Wars book in 2006, how the left utilizes social justice law and to pit cultures against each other for the goal of decimating the country and having totalitarian control. And that's a lot of fancy words for, you know, we're going to roll you. And we don't believe in the – we can't do it with the Constitution intact because you got due process. Remember, you can just hire a bunch of prosecutors, bust your butt, take you to jail, hide the exculpatory, and not have any evidence. And if they do it openly, by all, well, that's a signal for all the lower judges, but you know, to follow suit. But guess what? Trump's only got 150 of them left to take over. He broke every record there was for placing judge. I forget the number, but I think there's only 150 to go, is what he said. To at least get these rats out of there that don't believe in law and order. But what's ironic is the people that voted to put blacks in cages, you know, with the mandatory sentences for drug dealing and stuff, giving mandatory sentences, was a Democratic thing. And that was a strategy to foment, you know, what you call seasoning, you know.
Graham, is our host still with us? I see him on mute. Hello, are you there, Graham? I tried to unmute you.
Hello. Sorry, Richard.
I'm sure.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just got someone come in.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you caught some of what John was talking about last little bit here. I'm sure he'd be curious to hear some feedback from you after all he's been talking about.
Yeah, we're not. We're not seeing the same kind of frantic hysteria going on. Apart from once or twice down in London and stuff like that, there doesn't seem to be any of that madness and burning police cars and all that kind of stuff. Mind you, we've not really had anyone killed. That's a thing. No one's died yet over here.
I had it on mute.
All right, you're a wee bit choppy, John.
Yes, sir. I calmed down rather quickly, but they're saying that, you know, who was instrumental in it was you, my Scottish friend here. He said what they're calling bipolar is probably just normal reaction to what the hell's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. You know what? I got some mileage out of that because I haven't been bipolar lately. I just realized, hey, there's nothing nutty going on here. You know, when someone rolls your country and tells you lies, you're supposed to get mad.
It's the natural reaction.
Right? And it's an art not to, you know, do something stupid like put a costume on and join a bunch of wackos down there at the, whatever it is down there in Seattle or BLM. We don't know if the fomentation is going to continue to the point where Black Lives Matter don't get it. All right, my brother. Take care. Excuse me. And then, the fomentation, meaning the ginning people up, is this just phase one? And phase two is going to be really nasty, which include beating up white people. Like the L.A. riots, the part about, graphically taking somebody, dragging him out of a truck and beating him for 20 minutes, kicking him in the face and all that. That would accelerate. And then the Koreans had their own militia because the police wouldn't come in L.A. And I think they sent the National Guard in there. But we don't know, like if tonight, suppose a third of Chicago burns, in New York. Suppose the dopers getting raised about getting evicted. We don't, like the moratorium on rent's about over, so that means there's going to be 500,000 people on the street, I thought, unless someone gives them housing. Now, I don't think that, you know, like I say, in New York, what happened with the moratorium on rental?
Yeah, yeah.
Will there be half a... Huh? That, well, like, I'll give you an idea. Today, I went to Home Depot in Lowe's, and guess what? No cement. Guess what? No boxes of vinyl siding. Guess what? 2x4s are $6. Guess what? They're out of a bunch of stuff up there. They didn't have the screws I need, you know, and so the shelves look kind of weird when you look down the cement aisle and there's no cement in the building. They've been wiped out. Now that, my friends, is how you hurt an American. You hit them in the pocketbook. But hyper, is this a supply chain kink? Is this just a little kink in the supply chain? Or is this mean that everybody in construction can't build, therefore has to lay off on top of all this garbage? But I can tell you this, it will result in some kind of a big problem. If you know, hyperinflation, the supply chain, China probably would just throttle back on our supply chain and say, "Are you sure you're tough enough to take it? You know what it's like to have hyperinflation and everybody fighting over a 2x4? Everybody fighting over each sheet of drywall?" I mean, it sounds harmless, but supply chain, I don't think America's ever had one. I mean, they basically doubled the price in Iraq, rebuilding Iraq, you know, where each board was like doubled in price for a while. Because of Iraq, we were sending our products to Iraq. So they doubled the price. But that hurt everybody in the middle of contracts because, you know, you specified what you'd pay. Well, anyway, if you're in the middle of a big contract of a hospital and all of a sudden your material price doubles, it's usually in the contract that you supply the material. And so that's a belly punch to the working man. And the problem is, it's a working stiff that's working with a bad back. You know, he's had divorces. He's had problems at the wazoo, but he's a law-abiding, hard-working person. And then he turns around and finds out that the other people, you know, aren't working, and they can sway the government or convince. They can convince the government by, you know, being violent and taking over cities and burning and looting is more effective than working hard. You get more say-so if you're a violent person. Now, I'm not that smart of a guy. I got a lot of caveman in me. If you keep telling me that you need to just be violent like Antifa, or you're a weirdo, you know, make it the norm. But Dennis Prager says it a lot better than me. You know, the desensitization is part of it, but that 12, what was it, that 12-step thing you read about 12 steps how to socialize a country?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have it. Yeah.
Just being a loudmouth like me, the FOIA, Tom Fenton does FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, where by law they're supposed to produce the documents if they're deemed, the public should view it. Any document should, if the government produces, you should be able to view it. So if you go to a judge and say, "Hey, I want all your court records," and he's supposed to say, you know, you can get him in trouble and take him to court if he refuses. So usually he'll produce them, right? Well, Tom Pitton says, no, they don't. They make you sue them. You have to sue them to get the damn papers that legally they have to give you. And this is the judicial system. So the judicial system is the one breaking the law. So how backward is this? the citizens got to, you know, police the judiciary. And it's nothing new, but it just seemed like they're getting orders from the top. But what's a man to do? Vote? In my state, they're going to vote Republican no matter who votes. I mean, you know, like, I figure my vote's already, you know, going to be complete red. But now, you remember South Carolina has an influx of new people. It's one of the most destination states in America. It's Texas, then Florida, then South Carolina. Those are the top three. And there's a lot of exodus going on. You know, like, the number one egress state is California. And then I think second is New York, and then Chicago, or Illinois. And the migratory paths of people, they come here for less regulation, less, you know, Democrat-run, I guess, welfare. I don't know. I don't know why they're fleeing those states. It costs a living, I guess. But when they get here, the California Los Angelized lawyers, like people like Trey Gowdy, he wants social justice to ruin us just like California. I call it Californification or Los Angelization. And but that's all heavy stuff, man, you know. And you become a product of what you do. But I don't understand, for my longevity, for my, what is it called, self-preservation kicks in. I mean, even Judas had enough sense to save his own ass. Which, you know, would you like to go into town and get crucified today, sir? No, I don't think so. Maybe he's the smart one. I don't know. But, you know, where are we going, Jesus, into town to get most likely to get crucified? Are you in? Well, don't worry, man. Everything will be the coolest, you know. You'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. But all that's where Christianity's gone, is going out the window. We got a new boss. We got this rant and raving going on around TV. That beats the heck out of any minister on Sunday and dressing up, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't take it much for an American. You know, we all got the attention span of a gnat. And you think I'm bad. I've seen people tweak out so bad when they lose their cell phones. Talk about teachers, career teachers that know better, old people that get hooked up on it. I know somebody now that got turned on to a cell phone and found the powers that be would lie within him and addicted to politics on him now. He doesn't have a friend in the world. He went overboard with Facebook and opinions and all that. And it's easy to get sucked into. But, I have a friend that claims he's not. You know, he has a dumb phone. He doesn't have a smartphone. And he's got a laptop, but he just does, you know, his schoolwork on it. And refuses to do, you know, they've been on Facebook or nothing, but I guess, you know, I've never been on Facebook, but I saw that 70% of the people rely on Facebook for their news. I didn't know the news existed on Facebook. I still have what do they mean by that? What is the news? I don't know what somebody would get on Facebook and read the news or get their news from Facebook. I guess the social media means that the people, but you know, like, rather have a common person tell you how to you know, a common person, you'd rather have them deliver your news through word of mouth because it's so unreliable on CNN and so forth and MSM. It's so unreliable and it's so prevalently. So that means that the left wing, you know, the, what do they call them, millennials and so forth, I guess they think the news is just a bunch of bunk too. But you would think that supply and demand would say that they're eating the news up. If millennials aren't consuming the news and they're going on Facebook as an alternative, who does watch MSM? The only people I know that watch MSM are right-wingers that want to see what the other side's saying. And, you know, isn't that the point that Anderson Cooper, you see the profile of somebody that you want to smack, and he says something flagrant, and, of course, it's faggotry, you know, he's got a new son and all that. And, I got plenty of gay friends. They hate his guts. You know, Lindsay's gay, and Lindsay's one of my favorite people. It's not everything gets gay, but the faggotry's there to inflame white people and to foment bigotry, race baiting, gender baiting, what's that called? LGBTQ. There's nothing Prager says. LGBTQ and LGBTQ and Me Too. And BLM is the same product, same people, same trap. Then you go to court. Yeah. But my rant, did y'all think that rant was inbound or is there a late hit?
I thought it was top notch rant.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, Graham?
I know. It's interesting to see it develop like this. It's a bit scary, I have to say. I find it a bit scary.
My thing is, I make a lot of hydrogen. No, I'm not a bomber. I do it for fuel efficiency, HHO. But, in the Middle East, they got a lot of IEDs. Now, people are saying they want a gun. They want a gun. Do they want gasoline sprinklers? Take a 100-gallon drum and do the driveway? Suppose you pulled up in my house and the law wasn't there and I didn't like you and I could turn the valve on and then and you smell gas being sprayed all over. Would you get out of the car? No. I wouldn't have to pull the trigger on anybody. But, next thing I do, I have to figure out a way to ignite it. But that would be a pretty good deterrent to crime. And, you know, I don't know anybody that didn't have an arsenal of guns for when, what do you call martial law? College educated. There's supposed to be like 12 million preppers in the U.S. that think that doomsday is going to hit. College educated people. For stores, prepper stores in Spartanburg. They sell preparation. And so, do you think that MSM is going to cover that? The people are scared to death of law and order? And it defunding the police is here and letting criminals out in Massey? And, you know, all of that. You know, it's so absurd. We can't wrap our heads around that.
I know, totally.
But it's happening. Now, whether it be successful is the thing. Will this foment into more rage, or will it? Can you really quell the left? According to Dennis, no. It's something behind this, back this crisis will beget another crisis, and then another crisis. The solution is like kryptonite to them. You know, they don't want a solution. They don't want to make a deal. They don't want to change a law. They want to subvert the entire Constitution for totalitarian control. Or, you know, David Icke. By the way, David Icke has posted two or three Trump's or actually Tucker Carlson's. Tucker Carlson now, he's been talking like we talk for the past week. You know, about no holds barred. This is a damn, this ain't a conspiracy. This is actually happening. And
he's the most popular news presenter on the mainstream news, by the way.
Do what? I'm sorry.
He's the most, Tucker Carlson has been voted the most popular presenter.
He has proven himself over the years probably to be the most, you know, cerebral, real journalist there is, even though he's a little quirky, but he, he's going to say something. You know, he was anti-Bush. He was anti, you know, like McCain. He says, show me this guy's ideology, because I've been doing news since I was a kid, and I can't find one shred of ideology. This guy's any way the wind blows. Or Bush, you know. That's a war crime. You cannot blow up the wrong country and claim bad intel. That's, you know, that's a war crime. You know, he said that during the Bush era, and they didn't have much good stuff to say about him, but nobody listened to him. But he's right. In other words, he has journalistic principles of some type, even though he's a hyper for the right. I mean, like, I have a friend that wants, you know, he's a sympathizer. And that's a word that doesn't get around much in America. Are you a resistance sympathizer? Hi-ya! You know, like, it's got that German tone to it. You know,
probably on drugs.
Couldn't compare Antifa with Nazis and socialists or communists. I mean, communists. But you remember the communists were.
No, I would say only to the cartoon Hollywood Jewish fictional depiction of the NSDAP. I mean, the whole idea of Nazis, I'd say, is completely exaggerated by the conquering peoples. In this case, the Jews, who wrote the history there. I mean, the Antifa are just like the people who were anti-fascist Bolshevik factions, as I say, in Russia, leading to the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, but also in Germany in the 1920s and early 30s, leading up to Hitler's rise as a popular elected, vote. I mean, he won through a popular election in 1933, and it was a reaction to these very same type of people. I'd say that This is due to the depiction, perhaps, of them. But no, I'd say the Antifa are far more like the very same anti-fascist groups who were in Russia and Germany in the teens, 20s, and into the early 30s there. But I mean, the history, like I say, is always written by the victors. But these are a lot of the same tactics of the same people, really. You know, who
that's
been
what
behind.
William Barr said. You know, William Barr said that a month ago. He said that history is written by the victors.
Yes, always.
The winners. Yeah. And which is an interesting thought, because he's playing devil's advocate. He's believing in his cause that, you know, this looks like totalitarian propaganda with the MSM, and just looks like textbook regime or coup. But, you know, regime just means what? A big change in the government?
Well, yeah, they're using minority groups, namely the black population, in an attempt at a color revolution. But they have, of course, a lot of white people in these, not just Antifa, but it's amazing how many are now in Black Lives Matter, especially now that Trump declared Antifa a terrorist organization. It's convenient. Everyone is supposed to wear masks in public, and there are plenty of white people in Antifa. I mean, in Black Lives Matter with these masks on now because of the mandates. So you'd think they were Antifa. So, but those groups have merged. Actually, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa groups have actually merged in this country now. And all of the funding and coordination is in sync. And these are all funded by George Soros and his groups. The most famous is that Open Society Foundation. I'm sure you've both heard of the name of that one.
Well, the Me Too as well. Me Too is, well, Tucker was a couple months ago calling it the most corrupt group ever formed is the feminist movement or the Me Too about, you know, wanting to haul people in on an affidavit that's 30 years old and all that without due process, just throw you in jail for being a sexist bastard. But it's all the same thing. BLM, Antifa, and Me Too. And the Karens, we got the Karens running around. They're foaming it up. They believe that, you know, I guess that we call a faction, a spur of, splinters of the same cause, same payola. But the other thing is, Trayvon is bought to peddle the socialist movement. And no one knows it. They do it with social justice law. He went on there saying Trump should not send in the militia. Let the states decide. That's code for he's really a leftist. And, you know, that's our state rep. It's only about three counties in South Carolina. And the other one, the fifth district is half of Spartanburg County. And who's running for the House? His name is Mo, political activist lawyer. Who is he? He works for BLM. He's running against the conservative, I forget his dang name, but Mulvaney used to be the House rep for that county. Mulvaney was hired in somewhere on the staff of Trump, something about goods and services. Some division. He got a promotion, you know. He's no longer a House rep. All I'm saying is that he's a radical left black dude, political activist lawyer, and guess what? His signs for his political campaign are all over my tenants' houses. You go over to the ghetto and it says political activist lawyer Mo, M-O. His name is Mo Brown. And he's trying to upset the conservative that's holding that seat. So we got a radical left guy trying to take over South Carolina. That's big news in itself that somebody so radical that touts Black Lives Matter is running against a conservative here. That means we're getting rolled. And, they, you know, Trey has millions, he's paid millions to leave the party and to fight Trump for social justice, and so did Ryan. Ryan's on the board of Fox. And it goes back to, like, you ever seen Citizen Kane? Or you ever seen, you know, how about Superman? True Justice in the American Way. He had two reporters working for him and an editor. And, you know, Citizen Kane was all about, if you don't have the MSM in your pocket, you ain't going to be in power. You know, that's the way it works. Apparently, it's always worked that way. But the thing is, the truth is that, you know, that this subverts the Constitution. That his dirty pool is not the will of the people, it's the will of the lobbyist. And, I make it sound so casual, but here we are, you know, they're burning buildings. It's not so casual no more, is it?
or say like Britain, you know, or the UK, I think that y'all are so polite of people that you're a higher caliber of people. The Americans were beat down like a dog. You know, that was the national anthem of Bruce Springsteen, you know. Beat down like a dog, spend half your life just to cover it up. I mean, after a while, you know, I said, why am I killing myself for the almighty dollar? But they say the standard of living has never been the same since the early 70s when that song came out. You can't get ahead anymore. You just got to work like a dog, and no matter what you do, you know, poof. But you got to remember, France is in recession, Italy's in recession, and I imagine the UK's in recession, and Scotland too.
Yeah.
So where Scotland said that they're not going to send us something, the Scottish Parliament? No.
Oh, no, rubber bullets on the tear gas.
Yeah. Yeah, but why would the Scots not want us to have tear gas?
No, the tear gas and the rubber bullets that we're using were Scottish.
Hmm.
They were made in Scotland. Oh.
Yeah. But how can France? I think, you know, France kills us because the French people are saying, hey, man, you know, you done squoze us, you know, we got to decide between getting you know, oral hygiene or you know, we can't buy anything extra. You know, we just bare necessities here. And now you're going to throw this tax on us for, you know, the EPA or whatever, global warming tax. And they wouldn't stand for it. But didn't that kind of submerge them into, you know, by the way, Steve Bannon is going to build his institute now, and he got the okay to do that. They fought him. That it's going to go forward now. It's going to be conservative university, sort of. A place where you can learn Judaic, Christian, conservative principles. And I don't think it'll go over too well, but there is a demand for it in Italy. Well, I guess you go there to learn Steve Bannon's tactics. The only ones that work.
Question is, why is America not using their own manufactured rubber bullets on the tear gas? Why are they importing them from Scotland? What's all that about?
Yeah, they could get the other crowd control. We'd get the microwave truck. And I think it causes a flash burn on your face or something. The crowd control like that, they got that. That'd be a nice one. Of course, it takes about something like 2 hours for it to get up to full power. Power control, I'm talking about.
Well, as far as... As far as your comment on Steve Bannon, I was just going to say that I'd say as the alt-right, the so-called alt-right, and Trump supporting fan base and movement gets bigger, they really want to subvert it to whatever extent they can. And Steve Bannon, with a strong Jewish connection there with Breitbart, Bannon being appointed by Trump early on even, and well, that's a strong connection to Zionism and Zionist factions controlling and pulling the strings in the shadows. So I'd say these new moves by Steve Bannon are just a way to further rein in, you know, any would-be dissenters who are nationalists, who are patriots, and be sure that they're controlled, if not by Bolshevism, then certainly by Zionism.
I watched a YouTube on France, and I said, are they protesting in France? And they did, and the crowd was jeering as well. Something about Black Lives Matter, but they were also, they could be heard chanting
the Dirty Jews. That's in a YouTube for this week or this month. That is there a crowd? They must tune in to Rosemary. What's her name? Rose. I think it's funny because I thought that that's an old one. They say the crowd was cheering that in France, that they've allocated some faction over there allocates the blame to Jewish people.
Anyone who researches it, like I said, with all of the immigration, the anti-white agenda, this all comes from Zionist Jews in high places. I mean, I don't know, perhaps you've never looked into this, John, but it certainly is a fact, so it's not... I'd say it's not some wild theory that these Frenchmen have, that they're just doing their research. But there are plenty of quotes straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from some of these people. I have recordings myself, video recordings of some of these people, you know, these hardcore Zionists, Talmudists saying these things. There is a very anti-white agenda by some of these higher-up Jewish factions. Oh. In power.
I'm in no way a Jewish sympathizer at all. I'm very leery. They're so slick because, like, for instance, Jared, what's his name, Trump's son-in-law. He's the
Jared
only
Kushner.
Person in that camp. Yeah, he never got negative press. L.A. Times was writing good stories about him while bashing Trump. They said, well, since he's a dirty little Jew that might do some dirty work for us, let's build him up as, you know, the world's greatest guy in the world. And
well, on that note,
I thought that was too big.
I should remind Graham, let's check out the time. It looks like he's just about ready to close out his show. Oh, for the sake of the archive, John, I mean, would you have me put your last name then, since you mentioned it? Are you fine with that? Should I put?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. That's C-H-U-R-C-H.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that was great. I'm sure Graham would love having you on again. There, Graham, you got to hear an American perspective after all today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always interesting to hear fresh perspectives.
Well, half the stores we go to are closed, and I'll close you out with that. So, pawn shops are closed. Blah blah blah. And, you know, we're feeling it, brother. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll see y'all around.
Yeah.
Oh, well, John, stick around if you want. I mean, we have the round table after this still. So if you can,
that's right.
if you need to take a break, but
I'll
then just come back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, man, I'll see you in a little bit.
All right.
Take care. Thank you. Thank you, Graham. All right. Bye.
All right, cheers. All right, folks. That was a quick second hour. I just seemed to zoom past. So I'll wind up the show. You're welcome to join us on the round table, which is back-to-back with us. Show, we'll just pretty much continue what we're doing there. But in any case, I'll be back next Thursday at the same time with another edition of the 21st Century Jacobite. So I'll say good night and God bless.
Tune the yes, a chill,